Right, well, I've just in haste opened the rattler, just pouring it into a pint glass right now so that I can get a really good view of this one. This is a cloudy cider with some fizz. Let's give it a quick whirl on the photograph. So the lid has a Cornish flag on it, and that's because it's Cornish cloudy cider. Okay, now I have had this one before at a pub, so let's see where we're going with this. Cider spelt with a Y, okay, and the sort of motif is the rattler, which is a rattlesnake, presumably. Yeah, so here we are with Healy's established 1980, and a really lovely cap there, black and white. The white cross on a black background is the flag of Curnow, which traditionally was a fourth country before Ireland, or fifth country with Ireland. I don't know, to be honest, but you know, back in the Middle Ages, and well, but up until at least 1200 anyway. Don't know exactly the exact history, so research it yourself. But Cornwall was a separate nation, and we know that King Arthur had a castle at Tintagel. And the River Tamar is the boundary between England and Curnow. I've lived in Cornwall myself for 2 years, so I do know something of the Cornish people. But these days, when I go further down than Lostwithiel St Austell, I do not find any Cornish people. I only find Emmets, which are the English interlopers who've bought up the property and raise the prices. But I would imagine there are still proper Cornish people in the middle of Cornwall. I shall have to do an exploration. Anyway, I've allowed the cider to rest a little bit, and now we're going to apply the 9 criteria to it. I have to say it's looking really good. And I already have a great feel-good factor. So let's have a look for a moment at... I need a red pen, but I haven't got one, so we'll use a black pen. Right, so having a look here at packaging and provenance. Now, I think provenance is fine, isn't it? Because we're told that it's the feisty Cornish rattler apple, blended with Healy's know-how. I mean, it doesn't tell you where the apples come from, okay? It doesn't say whether Healy's have their own farm, but they are the Cornish rattler apple. We also don't know where they're grown. I mean, they could be grown in Scotland, but we are assuming that perhaps they are just grown locally because they're the Cornish rattler. But that doesn't mean to say they couldn't be grown in Scotland and shipped down. So in that sense, we don't have as much, you know, authenticity about the provenance as we could have. You might say I'm being pedantic, but this is exactly how marketing works. It works on your assumption. So provenance, it's not only British cider, it's Cornish cider. It's blended in Cornwall from Cornish rattler cider apples, but we're not really sure where those actually come from, whether they come from one or more local farms, or whether they're just apples from anywhere you like, but they're Cornish rattler apples from anywhere you like. You know what I'm saying is these bottlers who are creating labels should take a lot more effort to explain on the bottle what the story is behind the cider, because it's important. And it's precisely that which allows a company like Thatcher's, which to me is clearly a huge cider factory because of the sheer output, right? There's no way it can be a little tucked away farmhouse somewhere nestling in the Somerset, okay? So therefore, if Thatcher's can get away with, you know, what looks okay and passable on the packaging, but is largely working on your assumption, because you assume that the apples are, you know, grown and made in this beautiful little place called Myrtle Farm. But Myrtle Farm could be a huge bottling plant in Bristol, for all we know. We don't actually know until we go there, okay? And they're assuming you won't go and try and find out. And so what's happening then on the Rattler bottle is we're given almost no information whatsoever. And that's either assuming that we realise they're good and truthful, or it's taking from Thatcher's example and just giving you the barest bone details and trying to make out that it's all hunky-dory-do bona fide. So we can't actually be that sure. Whereas with Sheppey of Somerset, we can go to the cider farm, we can, you know, even take an apple off the tree and bite into it. Those are the apples which go into Sheppey's cider. They grow them themselves in their own orchards, and they constantly plant new orchards. That is what I call provenance. If I'm not sure that there is a cider farm, you know, Westerns don't particularly grow their own apples, but they source them from so many miles around in Herefordshire. Yeah, but they're not necessarily cider apples. So we need to go to Westerns and discover the story. We need to go to Sheppey and discover the story. This is, I think, Britain's greatest claim to fame is the making of cider. And we need to discover what it really is. So Rattler, I want to give them, you know, I have a feel-good factor. I want to give them a big nudge. But provenance, they can only have two. Okay. Packaging, I mean, it's hard to imagine something more superbly designed and packaged. So three for packaging, and two. So that's five. Nobody's scored six so far. The look of the cider, you know, does it look fantastic? Yeah, it looks fantastic. Give it a six. Nose. Right, here we go. Getting into the cider itself. I don't know whether it's just me or whether ciders don't particularly, you know, smell massively, but it's got very, very little nose, but what there is a nice cloudy apple type of nose, cider nose. So I think nose, I'm going to give it four, okay? It's not a very pronounced nose, but that could be my nose. But what I can smell is definitely giving me cloudy cider apple. You know, there's an appleness in there. Apple taste. Now, what's the taste? Oh, yes. It's a glorious taste without the sort of bite and difficulty of tannins. But at the same time, at 5.5%, it's just got enough alcohol in it to be a mighty defender. I'm just going to try again. Sorry, I'm just trying to concentrate. Apple taste. If I blind tasted various alcoholic drinks, I could say something had a cider taste, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's got an apple taste. I'm going to give it three or four for apple taste. It's not massively apply. Most ciders aren't massively apply. I think there's a nice pleasing taste about it. Which is as apply as anything. So it's going to go for four, okay? So you could ask, could argue I'm slightly biased for it because I think it's a very beautiful product, okay? And it's Scottish, you know, but extra taste, as in the taste outside of it being apply, really. I'm going to give that one a three. You know, clean palate. Yeah, definitely a clean palate. So that's a five, I think. You know, there's no nasty bits in it. It's not sending tannins shooting me on the roof of my mouth. And it goes down beautifully. Nice, simple finish. Bubbles. It's not giving me any noticeable bubbles. And I'm not saying that's a good or a bad thing. It's just a criteria. So on that criteria, it's going to get a two. Or, you know, the last one got a zero. I think. I mean, there's a little bit of evidence of froth on the top, so I'm going to give it one for bubbles, okay? Feel good factor. I honestly think the feel good factor is massive, really, really massive. There's everything's been done to zone in and make you feel good about it, and the look of it in the glass is massively feel good, I think. It's just exactly the right color. It's a old gold sort of color. Yeah, I think it's absolutely perfectly fine to give it a six. Why wouldn't I give it a six? The feel good factor is just superb. Okay, goes with cheese. I mean, I could have put goes with sausages or goes with pasta, but I would just put goes with cheese, you know. Can I imagine myself crunching into an apple and, you know, I'm particularly thinking extra mature vintage cheddar where, you know, all other cheeses, Brie, Edam. Definitely, I think this one's an other cheeses. But it's not, as a drink, it's not saying to me, I desperately need to be eaten with cheese. It just is a lovely drink to drink on its own, which is great, you know. I'm going to put. I'm going to put three for that one. Okay, that's a bit wishy-washy of me, but it's not saying this is going to be great with cheese, but at the same time, I gave the Thatcher's four, and that was a similar idea. And you know, I probably was thinking about Brie and Camembert and that. So, you know, I think that's fair enough. So let's see how it scored. It looks like it's scoring pretty high. Let's say five and six and four is 15, and four and three and five is 27. And 128 and 6 and 3, 20 is 37. Let's do it again. 11, 15, 27, 28, 37. Okay, so it hasn't scored quite as highly as the cans, Haze and Dry Cider. And that's possibly because I was a bit more enthusiastic. Was that the case or what? Let's have a look. So packaging and provenance is fairly set in stone. If you don't have any provenance, you're not going to get a point in there. Okay. And if you don't tell me exactly where the apples are farmed, you also lose a point or more. So I gave it as high as it could have there, which was five out of six. The look, I gave it six. The nose, I think I was generous at four, right? But I gave the haze a six nose. So I don't know. It might be the day, it might be the glass. I don't know. It's understated nose. Apple taste, four. That's pretty high for cider, to be honest. Extra taste. It's very delicious, you know, but you know, maybe the Merry Down scored a bit highly on extra taste at 4.5, out of six, but that's all it did score on. So Cream Palais, yeah, absolutely no problem with that. I mean, it is a master crafted cider. You know, it's one of the top notches. You know, we'll just have to see how it goes as we go along. Bubbles, I mean, okay, it's a bit of a kind of false criteria, if you like, but, you know, you could say, well, you're only going to rate the ones that have a lot of bubbles the most highly, but that's not really true, because something can have a lot of bubbles and not have a clean palate, or not have a feel-good factor, or whatever. I mean, just because it's bubbly doesn't mean it's going to have a feel-good factor. You know, I mean, they're just random criteria, which are things that came to my mind regarding cider, you know. The cloudy, bubbleless ciders will score poorly for bubbles, that's all. Feel-good factor is tremendous. Goes with cheese. Neither yes nor no. So 37, okay. I scored the Sainsbury's one particularly high for cheese because it is that type of almost tannic cider which is going to work really, really well with an extra mature cheddar. Okay, so there we go. 37, 40, they're good high marks. You know, arguably it fell down because bubbles. That's all we could really say. I mean, so far I would say it's by far the most impressive cider that I've opened out of four. But it didn't score quite as highly on criteria, that's all. And, you know, maybe if you had more criteria it'd score more highly, but it was certainly out of the four the one I'm going to enjoy the most. But I think this does show that by using criteria rather than using my personal, oh, I think this is wonderful because it's got a legend or whatever, I think I'm being you know, I'm not giving too much, I forget what the words are, but do you know what I mean? It's fairly objective. I think it's fairly objective. So I think it's going to be very interesting as it goes, as to which ones score which. And, you know, yeah, it's perfectly fine to say the ones that don't have much bubbles will score low on the bubbles, but they can score very highly on the others. It's not stopping them, am I? You know, it's going to be quite a tannic, quite a mature cider that goes well with cheese. That's just how it is. You know, a wine doesn't fall down just because it's not oaked in new French oak for 2 years. It's might not be oaked at all and could be a perfectly wonderful wine. So I would just say that against the dry cider, and I'm very much thinking in terms of the mature extra vintage cheese, you know, which is just one random criterion out of millions you could pick, it just hasn't got the biting point. It's a very, very pleasing cider. You could drink it all afternoon, all evening, have a perfectly good time. No need to drink anything else, right? But it doesn't make me think crunch into an apple and cut a slice of cheese. It doesn't make me think cut a slice of ham, chicken, beef, pork pie or anything. It's just a nice cider, you know. It's a socialising cider that you can have fun with and chitter chatter at the bar and perhaps eat some crisps. So it's that kind of cider. It's mighty, it's fabulous, but it isn't necessarily, it isn't necessarily top dog in the cider world, okay? And you know, I'm very shortly going to be trying the Old Mout kiwi and lime cider, and that is a cider out on a limb, It's probably not going to score very highly in the cider world, but it's a very definitive product and it's well beloved, I'm sure, by lots of people. And that is the beauty of cider, and that's what I want you to take away from this entire competition. The battle of the ciders is cider is a many, many multifaceted product. And anyone who just dismisses it as, oh, cider, hasn't got a clue, you know? There's ciders that could pass off for champagne. There's ciders that could pass off for white wine. There's ciders that could, you know... There's just so many ciders. Even between the dark gold translucent or the pale silver translucent or the many, many coloured cloudy ciders, such a world of difference between them all, you know. And then you start adding fruit to them or lemonade, you know, it's absolutely huge. It's multi-dimensional. And yet, when do I ever have a conversation in a pub about cider? I honestly think in 40 years I have had conversations with two individuals on the subject of cider, just two people, and that's about over probably 30 years apart. It's our finest product. Nobody has anything to say about it. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to raise awareness of what a magnificent offering cider is. And you need to get it inside you because it's good for you. It's better for you than any other alcoholic drink out there. Seriously need to get cider inside you. This is a great cider to start on. I mean, as a total newbie, you probably are going to hit the, you know, the running the conveyor belt of cider somewhere like the Old Mouts, Berries and Cherries. Very, very good place to start, right? But then, you know, try something like this Rattler. Because it's not hugely challenging, but it's very, very delicious, and it's a damn good... It's a big boy cider, right? It's just not a hairy old bloke big boy cider, that's all, okay? But it's very respectable, fabulous feel-good factor, and if you never went anywhere else in cider, you'd be well-placed.